Live Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Glad to have you listening and tuned in to this broadcast. It is a hot, hot summer, and life can be hot, hot as well in terms of the situations and circumstances that we have to face and go through. And this show is here to let you know that you can endure. You can press past the challenges straight through to the dreams and the goals that you have for your life. And that even though you're feeling the weight or the pressure of the life difficulties that stand in your way, know that you are not the only one. And I don't say that casually. I say that with a great deal of compassion to say that others have been there, others have gone through it, and they have made it to the other side because of God's hand on their life, because they did not let go. When they had that moment to give up and throw in the towel, they did not. And so we want to encourage you tonight as you listen to keep that ever before your mind. Your goal is to give up. I'm sorry, your goal is not to give up. Don't give up. And to win, also, and to win. And so tonight's guest knows a lot about that. We have Dr. Mikkel Harris with us. She is associate professor and licensed psychologist. She's also author, and we're going to talk a bit about her book, which is a very unique title. When we think about pain, we often think about running away from it, not relaxing into it. And so this is a wonderful concept that I know to be true, and that when we stop the fighting and the resisting, we can really come into the blessings that God has for us. But she's not just speaking from a clinical perspective. She knows very well what she's speaking about through her own life experiences. So Dr. Harris, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you so much, Jackie. It is an incredible pleasure to be able to join you and interact with your audience. I just appreciate the opportunity.
Well, before we get too deep into it, can you just tell us the title of your book?
Absolutely. It's titled Relaxing Into the Pain, My Journey into Grief and Beyond.
Relaxing into the pain. Not something that people really want to do. However, it's a term that I'm familiar with because I have a dance background, a dance history, and often when you are stretching, you will hear your instructor say, relax into the stretch, relax into the discomfort. And so I would imagine that that is the direction that you're going in this book, in terms of instead of fighting and resisting, which will only cause, you know, in the dance world, it would only cause your muscles to tighten and keep you from getting to your end game. Is that where you're going with this?
That's exactly right. Relaxing into the Pain is ultimately a book about our title that focuses on surrender. And as you mentioned in the dance community, as you relax into things, it actually allows you to experience it with less pain. That's exactly the essence of the book, and it led to relaxing into the pain, just being able to fully surrender into what the Lord is asking you to walk through during particular seasons of your life.
Awesome, awesome. We're going to listen to this very short snippet by Fred Hammond called Just to Be Close to You. And when we come back, we're going to speak with Dr. Mikkel on how the Lord actually allowed their relationship to get closer and closer and closer.
To the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Just to be close to you.
Hey,
is my desire.
Everybody sing it.
Just to be close to you.
Hey, yeah.
Just to be close to you.
Hey, yeah.
Just to be. Is my desire.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
And we are back with Dr. Mikkel Harris, who is a life psychologist and author. And we are here to talk about today the way that it's really twofold. It's the way that we relax into the pain of life, of the situations and circumstances that come our way, and how the Lord also uses those moments to draw us closer to himself. And sometimes we will pray for things and ask for things, Lord, I want to be close to you. And we don't understand that, well, there has to be circumstances that allow us to be close to him. And so you are no stranger to that, Mikkel. You said in our brief little intro that you were raised in a Baptist home, and I wanted to find out a little bit about your family dynamic. What was that like? If you could describe for us what growing up was like for you.
Yeah, I grew up, I'm the product of two military parents. Both of my parents were in the U.S. Air Force, and so our family did a little bit of traveling, ended up in San Antonio, Texas, and it was my mom, my dad, one of my older brothers, and we lived in Texas and had an intact family, and, you know, church was something that was part of our experience weekly. My family was involved in church, and many things that are kind of the traditional intact family experience. So, yeah, it was a very traditional upbringing.
Tell us about the fact that even though you grew up in this traditional, you know, church every Sunday kind of a family, that you yourself didn't commit to the Lord personally until around the age of 20. So what brought you to that decision, to that place?
Yeah, I think like a lot of kiddos who are raised going to church, you go to church. That's something that your family does as part of their traditions. But it wasn't until I was an undergrad student, I had the fortunate pleasure of being able to interact with students who were really involved in a particular organization. And one of my friends in particular was so awesome at being able to go out and be a witness for the Lord. And honestly, interacting with him inspired me. And I thought, gosh, like he has something that I don't have. Our backgrounds look similar, but there was just a zeal that he had and a passion that inspired me to, you know, want to explore my relationship with God even further. And that's when I made the committed decision as an adult to follow the Lord and to seek his will and to seek him in a way that I had not done before.
That's awesome. That's really what it's supposed to look like in each of us. It's not so much the pointing fingers, scolding voices, but it's the people who are living this vibrant life that you look at them and you go, whoa, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I want what you have, or I'm supposed to have what you have. Why doesn't it look like what you have? And I always say on the show, Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the first moment. That is the vow ceremony of the marriage between you and the Lord. And then the relationship begins after that. And so here you are, 20 years old, you make this commitment. Fast forward about, you know, 17 years or so into your life, and as you said, you had a close-knit family, and you find out that your mother is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. So can you share with us how did she find out, and how did the family find out?
Yeah. So my mom was a nurse. She was a nurse for many years, and she was also a nursing instructor. So she knew her body well, and she knew body systems well. In the fall of 2012, approximately September, I remember calling my mom and having a conversation with her. And on the phone, I was in California, she was in Texas, and she said, you know, Mikkel, actually she called me Mickey. She said, Mickey, I don't feel like talking on the phone that long. And for me, that was shocking because my mom was the ultimate talker. And so I knew that something was wrong because she loved to talk. She loved to stay on the phone. She and I had a very close relationship and would talk multiple times a day. And so that was kind of the beginning of sensing that she wasn't feeling well. But her symptoms were really mild. she had a little stomach upset. She would have an occasional headache. And it wasn't until November of 2012 that she woke up one morning and was jaundiced. So she had the yellowing of her eyes. That's the point at which she made the decision to drive herself to the emergency room. They admitted her. And just a short few days after that, she was in procedures for a variety of tests, and they confirmed the diagnosis of stage 4 pancreatic cancer. So my book opens on November the 10th, 2012, and where my mom is actually calling me to share the diagnosis of stage 4 pancreatic cancer.
To share the diagnosis with you.
Yeah. So that was the day that I learned that she had cancer.
I see. I see. And so before I even begin to talk about what you might have been feeling or how you coped, I want to know, what was the outlook in regards to her situation? We know stage 4 is pretty severe. Was there, you know, talk about how to beat it, you know, various treatments to look into? What were the next steps that the family thought they were going to pursue?
Mm-hmm. So, ironically, my mom, again, she was a nurse. She had worked at a major cancer facility in Houston. My brother had worked at the same institution, and I had also worked at that institution. So we knew cancer very well, and we knew what stage 4 meant. With pancreatic cancer, what's very unfortunate is that a lot of times the symptoms are so mild that by the time the person's diagnosed, it's not uncommon for it to be at stage 4. So stage 4 signifies that the cancer has metastasized to other organs within the body. Again, my mom was a nurse. Yeah, and so she knew what that meant. And the day that she called, which was November the 10th, was the same day that she shared that she did not want to pursue any heroic treatments or otherwise. What the doctors offered her that day was what was called comfort chemotherapy. So they had informed her that it was well advanced, that there weren't many opportunities and options for long-term survival. So they were going to be offering her comfort chemotherapy just to eliminate some of the pain that they anticipated she would experience. So that's what was discussed. But my mom, being who she was, made the decision that day that she did not want to pursue that, that she wanted to end her final days, whatever they may be, surrounded by the things that she loved the most and the people that she loved the most. So we did not have to engage in any discussions around treatment because my mom was very firm at what she wanted. And to be honest with you, my brother and I, given our background, supported her decision.
So how long after the diagnosis and her decision did she pass away?
30 days. Yeah, she... Yeah, she was diagnosed roughly mid-November. A few days after that, roughly a week or so, she was she left the hospital and went home on home hospice. And about a couple of weeks after that, she died in her home. So it was 30 days from diagnosis to death. And with this type of cancer, kind of the range of survival is anywhere from 1 month to 6 months. So hers is on the short end, but it's very common for pancreatic cancer at stage 4.
Well, we can definitely hear from just the beginning of your story here that there would be a need to learn how to manage and to walk through the pain of losing your mother, not just a mother, but someone who you were so close with. So when we come back, we're going to talk some more exactly how you were able to walk through that process.
We thank you for inviting us to come. presence, all I can do.
Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
We are back with Dr. Mikel Harris, who just got finished sharing with us a very tragic moment for their family. Tragic in the sense that from the moment of learning that her mother had pancreatic cancer, losing her within 30 days and losing someone who was very instrumental in her life and who of whom she was very close to. And so, Mikel, I have to come back and start off by saying, pain is no respecter of persons. It doesn't care who you are or where you live. It will find everyone in some form or the other. And sometimes when we're going through pain, we absolutely think that we are the only ones going through this type of pain. And I'm thankful that you're here today to share your story, but also to bring it out in a broader way in terms of how others who are going through can also take the steps and utilize some of the same tools that you discovered in order to be helpful in their process. So I could imagine that this sudden death really rocked your world. How were you feeling and coping? What was your mental state?
Mm-hmm. My mental state, really throughout the course of learning of my mom's diagnosis, all the way to the present, is variable. I mean, I think that in the very beginning, one of the greatest gifts that my mom gave me from the day of her diagnosis was her peace. My mom was a woman of faith, and on the phone, when she shared that she wouldn't seek out the comfort chemotherapy, she also said in the same breath that, you know, there was nothing for her to cry about. And while she cried for about a minute in that conversation with me, that was the only time from that moment until she died that I saw her grieve. And so from the very beginning, there was an incredible peace that I had. Now, it was short-lived. After her death, I was faced with many moments of emotional upheaval, dark lows, and just really experiencing a lot of shock, large in part because of the diagnosis, her death, but also the pace. As folks will learn as they pick up my book, the pace of all of these things that were happening within a short amount of time was just incredible. And my emotions, you know, followed suit for a while until I had this pivotal moment of, you know, being able to talk with the Lord and really begin to embrace this idea of relaxing into the pain of this entire experience.
So let's get into that a little bit. What would you say were some of your fears and frustrations that gripped you as you started to move from the loss of your mother? And then if you can incorporate how you were able to strike a balance again in your life.
Yeah. You know, as I mentioned, I had this relationship with the Lord. What I didn't realize, and to be honest, until she was diagnosed and then her subsequent death, was my relationship with God was one where I was really the captain, and I consulted God on how to proceed with the things that I wanted to do. And
yes,
I didn't realize that.
Familiar.
Yeah, I didn't realize that from 20 to 37. I thought, I'm leaning on God, I'm leaning into God, He's the captain of my life. But I realized at my mom's diagnosis that, number one, I had absolutely no control over any of this, the diagnosis, the pace, all the things that would result afterwards. It was completely out of control. So things began to shift for me when I started to recognize that God is the captain, and He is allowing and orchestrating all of these different events, what I've called in the book kind of threads and moments that allowed me to see Him in His complete fullness. And it was really when I started to seek out scriptures and allow those scriptures to come to life. You know, I think from 20 to 37, I know my Bible, I know, you know, scripture, and was able to talk about that, and also had an experience with those scriptures. But it was at her death that I began to realize that those scriptures, it's not just words on a page. It's not just being able to sing them in a song or to even write them down. It really is that moment when the words on the page come to life and you see God as a healer. You experience Him as a father. You experience Him as a comforter. That's really when things begin to shift. And I was resistant. There were moments that I didn't want to lean into God, and angry and confused and overwhelmed. But the more that I sought Him, the more I realized, okay, He's captain. And unless I relax into this, I'm going to be fighting it tooth and nail and experiencing this on a much worse emotional, physical, and spiritual level.
Give me an example, a tangible example of an area that you might have had a fear or frustration, and then you were able to apply what you just said to it and see how you were able to respond. And does that make sense, what I'm asking?
It does. There's a moment in my book that I describe a flight that I took from Los Angeles to Washington, D.C. And I won't get into the details of the flight, but I was at this place of complete darkness, frustrated about my mom's death, anxious about what was yet to come, and completely overwhelmed. So I make it to D.C., I make it to my hotel room, and I am pacing the floor, literally crying out to God in frustration, in large part because I was wanting God to show up in a tangible way. Mm-hmm. Up to that point, I really wasn't able to put my hands on Him and to see Him actually come to life in my life. So there's this experience where I'm on a run. I go outside, it starts raining, and the raindrops hitting my skin almost revives me. It brings me to life. And that would be a tangible moment where, number one, that was the way I think the Lord always knows what it is that you need, when you need it, and how you need it. And it was something about the way that the rain was hitting my skin that actually woke me up to the reality that, number one, I was experiencing so many different emotions, emotions that I think on some level I was trying to suppress for about 6 to 7 months after my mom died, because I got back into the rhythm of my life. And so in that moment of feeling the rain on my skin, allowing myself to completely mourn and cry out to the Lord in a way that I had not done up to that point was the first time that I believe that I was able to really start embracing this new journey. And not, it's not that the fears went away. It's not that my frustration and anxiety went away, but it was an opportunity for me to say, okay, God, I know you hear me. I know that you love me. And I know that you care because I can feel, I can literally feel it on my person. So that was the beginning of kind of waking things up for me.
You definitely said a mouthful there. I think those are experiences that everyone who's listening, who's gone through some kind of loss and confusion can relate to. I think the piece about emotions, your emotions being suppressed for so long, is extremely important. And when we're talking about mental health and total wellness, and even how disease grows in your body, I had a guest on last night, we were talking about bitterness and how that can even affect the body, and so physically in terms of disease. And so we almost have this belief in our faith that, one, if we just put all of our trust in the Lord, nothing bad in life will ever happen to us, so that we're in some kind of a bubble. And then once that bubble gets popped, we don't actually deal with the emotions that come from the experience, right? We're often taught not to wave our fist to the sky and say, Lord, you did this. And one of the things that I find very interesting in Scripture is David being very honest with God at all times about his emotions. And even the Lord, on his way to the cross, being very honest about what he was feeling. And so why is it that we feel that we need to suppress and put on a facade? How do you deal with your – how do you handle that piece of things with your clients and get them to a place where they really realize that it is wellness to be honest about your emotions but not to sin in them, right, not to take them to another level?
Exactly. One of the great analogies that I love to use with my patients is this idea of a volcano. So if you were on the outside looking at a volcano, you would think, oh, this is a body of land. I don't see anything going on. It seems really calm. Now, we know that long before this volcano erupts, there were things going on the inside, and the lava was building up and getting to a point of eruption. So emotions function similarly. When you look at someone, you see the outside, and you can't really see what's going on under the surface. But fear, anxiety, frustration, all of those things are looming. And so it's important to be able to release the tension that's going on the inside and bring it to the outside. And this can occur through a variety of ways, through talking with someone, so literally releasing the tensions out of your mouth, writing them down, dancing. There's many expressive ways to do that. So when I talk with a patient, it's about, number one, acknowledging, yes, there are things looming beneath the surface. That's the first point, is just acknowledging that something's going on. Then strategizing with how can we take what's happening on the inside and actually get that out. And I think one of the most powerful things for me along my grief journey has been that I journal every single day, and it's this beautiful space to be able to capture, yes, this is the way that I'm feeling right now, without judgment, without criticism of myself. Getting it out on paper is a way to relieve some of that tension. Once it's out, okay, what do we do with that? How can we use those emotions in a way that not only honors ourselves but honors the Lord, so that we can move through this experience in a more healthy way?
That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. And I am, almost 49 and just getting to the place where I'm realizing that is a very, very healthy thing to do, to even in prayer, or when I say in prayer, I'm not talking about this formal moment of bending your knees, but just in your conversation with the Lord to say, right now I am feeling a little vulnerable. You know, Father, right now I know you said no to this, but I do want to grieve that for a moment because I was really looking forward to it, you know, and just having that kind of vulnerable conversation with him so that go ahead.
No, I love that you brought up David. I mean, I think David is one of the most beautiful examples of not hiding behind our emotions. I mean, David was very expressive about how he felt. Job was very expressive about how he felt towards the Lord. Moses, mm-hmm. when the Lord called him, was very honest with God about what he perceived as his shortcomings. So I think that God is 100% capable of handling our reality and what we perceive to be overwhelming and stressful and so forth. It's in that reality that he can then become the voice of reason, so to speak, and to guide us and say, my child, I hear you. I know that you feel X, Y, and Z. However, I'm here. Let's talk about how we can get through this situation.
I love it. Just to be close to the Lord, that should be our desire. It is a process, and it's a process that often involves some level of hurt or discomfort. But as Dr. McHale is sharing with us, we really need to learn how to relax into the pain. When we come back, we're going to speak further about some wonderful tips she'll have for you on how you can also reflect in a healthy way and move forward in your life.
My eyes. they need to be encouraged today. Then I realized, just reach out your hand to him because he's there, huh? Like you're alone in the midnight hour. He's standing there, believe it. In your tip trouble, he's standing right by your side. You were much closer. That's right, that's right.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
When you know that you have promises from God who says that he would never leave you or forsake you, that he would be with you through the fire and through the flood, that though it may feel like you're standing all by yourself, realize that he is right there by your side. He is much closer than you realize. And one of the ways you can begin to realize that his presence is actually there is to start to breathe, to be still, to be silent, and to relax into the pain. Accept the fact that it is real, it is yours, and it is there. And so, Dr. Mikel, now we're turning to you for some steps and some tools here, because, you know, it sounds like you took the time to do the work of self-reflection. And so is self-reflection something that you offer or you encourage your clients to do? I mean, for you it was journaling, for someone might be someone else, but talk to us about how you use this in your practice.
Yeah, self-reflection is definitely a strategy that I, recommend for my patients. And this can come, this can be available in many different ways. As you mentioned, journaling is one. I know some folks that I work with kind of, are they repulsed by the thought of writing what they consider a diary, which can appear very vulnerable, but that is one way. And I think the beauty of journaling is that it gives us not only a space to release that tension in the moment, but it also gives us an opportunity to reflect on our experience. We get so caught up sometimes in the here and now and being overwhelmed by our stressors in the moment that we don't appreciate that we've grown and transformed over time. So journaling can offer that. Another wonderful way is simply talking. Again, back to this idea of a volcano, talking is a physical way to release the thoughts, the feelings, the concerns that we have on the inside, on the outside. So if folks are not wanting to necessarily write things down, I'll encourage them to find a trusted friend to be able to share and maybe schedule some moments where they can actually release a little bit of that tension over time. Sometimes situations are quite overwhelming that it may require the assistance of a professional. And so really thinking about through prayer whether or not you need additional support via, mental health support or someone through your church and so forth. So there are lots of ways to kind of acknowledge and self-reflect on our experience, and I believe that as we do that, we're able to see that God is at work in and through us over time, which then propels us to want to dig even deeper as we see God working in our lives.
I agree. And the 2 points that you just mentioned there, both of them I've experienced. I have journaled very inconsistently, but consistently. So through the years, I have journaled, but just not every single day. But even with that method, as I look back now to 10 years ago or 7 years ago or 3 years ago, I can stand here and tell you that I've made no progress. I'm the same person. I'm still thinking the same or whatever. But when I open those journals, and I read where I was, I read what I was thinking, what I was going through, there's no doubt in my mind that God has completely delivered me from that space and place, right? And so sometimes when we're in our own head, we can't see it, and we need to go back and hear our own words and really know from that, wow, we are absolutely in a different space.
Now, another way to do this, again, if someone's not interested in journaling and writing things down, is, again, back to that trusted friend. One of the greatest gifts that I had throughout this journey was a few friends who knew me over time and were able to speak into certain areas of my life. Again, this would not be for everyone, but to be able to identify a trusted person or small group of persons that know you and can actually offer insight and perspective to say, okay, Mikkel, you know, I see this is where you are. This is where you were. So that they're able to recognize those shifts, and someone that you feel like you would be open to is also another way of gaining a bit of self-reflection over time, because it's so important that we see that God is alive and he's well, and he is not a stagnant God. He's constantly changing, constantly transforming, constantly renewing. And so having someone be able to recognize that and impart that into your life, it can be so critical over time.
Yeah, I have a dear brother. We don't get to actually see each other more than maybe once a year, more once or twice a year. But what's great about that is that, in a sense, he is the journal. So he can keep track of 1 year to the next and say to me, you know, don't you realize how God has been answering your prayers? Don't you see the pattern here? And he'll actually start to reveal the pattern. I'm like, oh, my goodness, why didn't I see that? But it's because, you know, he's had this almost journal-like experience where he's coming in and out at certain periods of time and can see the growth and development. Also, I agree with the issue of the power of talking. I'm an only child, small family. I didn't have much of a support group when I was going through my deepest challenges. But thankfully, the college campus that I was on had a wonderful counseling department that offered sessions and encouraged you from the time you enrolled as a freshman to take advantage of them and not to feel like there was any stigma attached to it. And even with all of that, it still is a little nerve-wracking to make the appointment and actually go. But it was one of the best things that I ever did, because for me, if I'm speaking to a friend or a family member, I'm kind of concerned about what they might think or trying to think about their feelings as well. But this offered me the opportunity to talk about myself and my issues for one whole hour. And it was just about me, my feelings, my perspective. It wasn't about anyone else. And that in itself is such a relief. It allows for such a weight to be taken off of you.
I always like to honor when I sit across the room from patients and it's their first time and they've been really nervous about coming in to talk with me. It is a vulnerable situation, and I definitely acknowledge that. At the same time, if we go back to this idea of tension and energy and needing to release that, energy will always express itself. So again, if we're not providing outlets, your stress and tension and overwhelm, whatever the situation may be, is going to be expressed in some way. For some people, that may be rage or anger outbursts. For some people, it may be physical health threats. You mentioned earlier this impact of what's going on emotionally and how that can manifest in our bodies. So it might turn out to be an illness or exacerbating symptoms, and the list could go on and on. So it is so important that we really be mindful about how we can shift that energy and release the tension that's on the inside, bring it on the outside. That's where the Lord can actually meet you, is once you're acknowledging and getting it out in the forefront.
Wow, this has been a great use of our time today. Do you have a final word that you would like to share with anyone who might be going through some pain right now?
I do. I think that, first of all, I appreciate you for listening to the program. I think the fact that there was something appealing about the topic is one of the most beautiful first steps in embracing that you're struggling. And I would encourage you to keep going. We have a tendency when we're experiencing discomfort to deny it, ignore it, stuff it down. But the reality is that the more you walk towards it, as much of a paradox as that is, the more you walk towards it, the Lord has already gone before you. He's already prepared the path. So with each step that you take, know that he's waiting for you. And even though it may be uncomfortable, know that he's there. Know that in some ways, that is when his greatest gifts and his presence can be revealed. It's in the pain of the situation that you will be able to experience God's greatest love and embrace for you.
That is absolutely true. You know, sometimes we don't want to hear it, but the beauty that awaits you on the other side is much more precious. And when I say the other side, I'm not talking about heaven, because that's one of the things we think, oh, yes, when we get to heaven. But no, the Lord can do it, that he can do some really great things for you right here. John 10:10 says that I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly now and in eternity. So let's embrace that. Thank you so much for being our guest tonight. Can you tell us where people can connect with you?
Absolutely. I have a website. It's MikkelHarrisPhD.com. I also have an author site where you can learn more about my debut book and make a purchase there and learn a little bit more about me. That's MikkelHarrisAuthor.com. I can also be reached on Twitter. You can follow me. My handle is Dr. Mikkel, DrMekel. I would love to connect with anyone who's interested in learning more about my story, learning more about how I can bless you with tips and strategies, as well as just being a source of support. So thank you so much, Jackie, for having me on your show.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I think one of the redeeming, wonderful points about your story is that because you learned to lean on God, he made him the cornerstone of your life, you know, and that through the storm, through the pain, he was the one you leaned on. And so now today you have the strength to turn around and help other people. So that is a true blessing. For my listeners, I want you to continue to be your very own best hero, because the greatest hero of all said that you were worth it when he gave his life for you on the cross. Until next time, God bless.
Love and
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.